to the Big Anxiety podcast series. We're recording on Gadigal land in the studios of 2RPH, a community radio station and radio reading service in Sydney. In this series of podcasts for the Big Anxiety Festival, we're talking to different folk about mental health and their lives and how these things intertwine. My name is Beck Dean and I'm the curator of the Big Anxiety Festival, and I'm joined by Nat of Nat's What I Reckon. Hello, Nat.
G'day. Hello.
Welcome to you. Just by way of introducing you, for those of you who aren't one of Nat's 40,000 plus Instagram followers and 100,000 plus Facebook followers, Nat is a comedian, among other things, and conducts most of his business online.
That's correct.
And being online and being an online personality and the implications of these things for mental health are some of the things that we'll be talking about today. I'm a big fan of your work, Nat. You got me through some incredibly tough times last year while I was finished writing a thesis. And your humour is kind of deadpan, situational, taking the piss out of things that are really absurd in our culture.
Yeah.
Is that kind of like an accurate descriptor?
Right. Yeah. I think it's more or less just me with the camera.
I've got a few other titles I've made for you. It's like a raconteur of cultural disenchantment.
Gotta press the cough button.
Yeah, press that cough button. A dandy of, I guess, lifestyle dissatisfaction.
I'm up for all of that.
Yeah.
AO headings.
So tell us what you do. What the sort of the basic mechanics of Nat performing in the world?
In the world, just in the world.
In general, yes.
Well, at least for the channel, it's I suppose it's a kind of review of the world as I see it. I don't know. I find a lot of the world around me fairly mediocre. What I'm at least forced into, either really ordinary, or I'm being told that things are supposed to be a bit more exciting than they really are.
Mm.
So I don't know. I kind of grabbed a camera and a microphone and just clipped it to a stick and just started wandering around making sarcastic remarks about it all. As soon as I started doing that, people started watching my videos, so I've kept doing that for a while now. Seems to be the way to go. And it works for me because I just do that anyway. I'm constantly whinging about stuff all the time.
So it's basically, it's you, but someone started to film you and you started to record what you were saying.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I mean, I turned it up a little bit, but yeah, that's more or less it. It's a good format for me to be able to put my music and my friend's music on videos and stuff too. So it's kind of worked in favour of a few things there.
Yeah, that's really nice. Yeah. I like that about you putting people out there. And so what are some of the situations that you subject yourself to? The first one that I saw of your videos was a review of the Mind Body Soul Expo.
Oh, the Mind Body Spirit Festival.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I believe you were smudging the air with sage outside the venue.
It was a desert sage smudging stick. Yeah, it cost me $25, I think. Yeah, I went to that expo in Olympic Park or something. Yeah, with some friends of mine, and I find all that stuff really hilarious. I like it. Like, I'm into alternative lifestyle and new age things. I'm cool with all that. I find it all fucking hilarious, to be honest. I think it's a lot of, I don't know, I think there's a lot of stuff in there. Like, I called it the snake oil summit or something, the snake oil review. It's people taking photos of your aura and stuff like that. And
oh, that was good. How much did that cost you?
That cost me $50.
Yeah. Yeah. Good scam.
Yeah. I asked them how the camera worked on that and they said, I didn't know. That's unreal. Yeah, that was lots of fun. You know, I'm never like making fun of people at things like that. I don't know. I think it's hilarious. I think a lot of people think it's really funny, that stuff. And I think when stuff starts to take itself too seriously, then that's where I kick in.
Yes, it's sort of like Sydney Olympic Park doesn't strike you as a centre of mind, body and spirit, really.
No, it's not a real cultural hub, no.
And so while you're at these things, do you tend to keep a bit of a low profile? I mean, you've just got a microphone on a stick. You don't have a massive entourage.
I had my mic on. I always have it on something different. I try to theme it to whatever I'm going to. That time I bought a tea sipping spoon. It's the only thing I could find that was on a stick. I was going to have it on a crystal, but I couldn't find a crystal.
You could have had it on some incense, I guess.
It might have snapped. Some incense, some lit incense, yeah. Yeah, that makes it kind of easier to keep it on the down low. Stuff like that is hard to get like a media pass to because people don't really want media to that kind of stuff. Yeah. You know, that's more for like sponsors and things of the... That day, that expo was on at exactly the same time as the Homemaker Expo. I had no idea. We just walked to the end of it and suddenly it went from smudging sticks to Tesla and attic ladders. I was like, this is fucking awesome. I want to make two episodes in one day, but yes, Bjorn, anyway, I went back and made that one anyway.
Yeah, brilliant. So are you starting to kind of get recognised at these things now that you're getting more of a following? Do people kind of clock you at all?
Yeah, it does. It depends what the event is, but yeah, it does happen. Like, it happens a lot now. It depends. Again, it depends what I'm going to. If I go to something like the Summer Nats, then I get recognised a lot. But I kind of like that. I like when people spot me. It just depends what the video is or what the event is. If it's the Summer Nats, it's fine. If it's at a renovation super show,
yes,
I think they know what I'm there for, you know.
Do you feel like you kind of slip into Summer Nats a bit more easily than the renovation home show?
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah. It's more... a lot younger people there, I suppose, than there are at the renovation super show.
There's landowners, landlords.
Yeah.
So I guess one of the things about being online, I guess, is that there's a certain point where it makes sense to do it continuously or to do it even thinking about it as a living or some way to make your way through the world.
Yeah.
When did that start to become apparent to you that that was something you could do?
Yeah, I suppose that's what I'm working towards at the moment. Well, I mean, when people want to participate in your video stuff, like, so when I release some t-shirts, people want to buy the t-shirts.
I love the t-shirts,
thanks very much. When that kind of stuff started to happen, so when I realized, like, and there's options for things like Patreon and asking people to donate to your page and stuff. I haven't done so much of that, mainly because I haven't felt comfortable doing that yet, but it's definitely the goal to live off doing this. It is possible, but you got to push pretty hard and be fairly consistent.
So it's a lot of admin behind the scenes, I imagine, with that too.
Yeah, there is a lot of that. There's a lot of talking to a lot of people all the time. I get messages all day from all sorts of people, which is awesome, but it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work for free too, because I do it all. You know, obviously I pay for all the... I edit all my videos myself.
So a career for a comedian online is obviously really different to the career of a comedian, I mean, maybe performing even in the last century, where you have your audience on the other side of a microphone and they're in the dark heckling you, and this kind of a situation, you've got your hecklers and supporters and trolls and everyone in your feed continuously. You can't turn it off.
No.
So how's this been for you as the audience has grown?
It's been pretty intense. Wonderful, obviously, having so many people comment, depending on what those comments are, but most of them are nice. Yeah, it can be pretty overwhelming. It's a lot of people saying a lot of stuff to me every day, commenting on what they think about me and what I'm doing. The more people that are seeing the videos and following me and doing that stuff, it becomes slowly more and more overwhelming, but I'm trying to manage that as best I can. Yeah, it's pretty, it's full on putting yourself out there, trying to make people laugh. If people don't find it funny on the internet, they'll let you know.
Oh, they sure do. And recently you've also started acknowledging mental health in your Instagram posts.
Yeah.
And there's been quite a huge reaction to this. And obviously it's a reason why we're sitting here talking about it today. It was because I was looking at your feed and seeing how when you did make these sort of declarations or posts about things, that there are enormous amounts of people getting back to you and kind of acknowledging their own situations or asking you for advice or asking you if you're okay yourself.
Yeah, a lot of people will message me asking if I was okay and, you know, sharing their stuff and what they go through, which is something I've wanted to do with the channel for ages, expand it a bit more into talking about that stuff, because that's a big part of my life, is my mental health struggles and stuff. That particular video that I posted was talking about how I hadn't been putting out a great deal of new stuff at the moment because I'm struggling with some tricky mental health stuff. But in no way am I, like, scared to talk about that or mention that. It's just about how to do that and not put it on them as if they're, you know, I'm asking for their therapy or something like that, but rather just say, hey, you know, just like you guys and gals, I'm struggling a bit too sometimes. It's nice to be able to say that, actually, and get the ball rolling there a bit.
Yeah, definitely, because I guess we know, like, there's science and there's research that shows us that online engagement in and of itself has potentially a lot of negative impacts in terms of self-esteem and people's perception of their bodies and all those sorts of things. Do you have any kind of strategies that you're working on to take care of yourself as like an online identity?
Top tips. I suppose just talking about it. I've got a great support network of friends and family around me, so I'm okay. It's been a lifelong thing for me. So it's not anything new, but with this internet thing being a bit more present, I do have to talk to people about it. I've talked to other people about it because I've got so many people saying so many things to me that I overthink the things that people say quite often, and it's good to have people to bounce that off. And what do you reckon about this? And so I suppose my ways of dealing with that are just to make sure I talk about it with other people offline.
One of the things that it does, I guess, which is really interesting to observe, is to acknowledge that you're not like a one-dimensional, superficial internet person or like this kind of avatar that just exists in this world, but that you're a kind of multidimensional human with a whole range of things going on, like all of us. I really love the video that you did as like a gender reveal in your back garden. Can you talk us through that and what led you to do that video?
It's one of the search results for Nat's What I Reckon. If you Google, someone sent me the Google list, so you'd start to type something to Google and it gives you the suggested searches. And the top one is Nat's What I Reckon gender. So that was obviously a big question for a lot of people. Lots of people always leave comments. It's always dudes leaving comments saying, this is like one unfunny, fat, ugly chick. It's always, is this a guy or is this a girl? Big, confusing questions for these champions. And so in the end, it was like, I don't really snap back at them. Sometimes I'll just use my words, I suppose, to wind them up a bit about that stupid question. I thought I'd have a bit of fun with it and make a gender reveal video. I find those pretty ridiculous. So I thought, well, I'd make a quick video. I came out of the bathroom with a towel and I dropped the towel and it's got a sign on me that says, you're a gronk. And what does it matter? You know? I'm glad you think my hair's pretty or whatever it is. If that's what you need to know, worry for you.
Yes. Those gender reveal videos are kind of getting more and more disturbing as time goes on, really.
I don't know if I mentioned this before, but I think one of my favourite gender reveal videos is this guy deadlifting 130 kilos, deadlifts up the barbell, and then his mates run over and they spin the barbells over and they've got these bags on the bottom of the weights, and he drops the weight and it goes bang and it's blue.
Oh.
It's the most like overly masculine gender reveal, and of course it's a boy, so
Everyone's super happy about that.
And all the guys, it was a bit of a worry.
And I did want to ask you also about another side of your work, which is your love of music.
Yeah.
And you're in a death metal band. You're a singer.
Yeah.
You do a bit of that, and you do a bit of guitar, drumming.
Range
of things. Multi instrumentalist.
Yeah, I've played in a couple of bands. I've played in a punk band. I'm a drummer in a punk band, and a screamer and a guitarist in a metal band. Yep.
And this is something I'm wanting to explore in another maybe iteration of this festival, which is like mental health and metal, because it seems like counterintuitive, because I guess for a couple of decades we've been thinking about metal, like dark metal in particular, being associated with actually the opposite of good mental health, with suicidation and Satan worship and human sacrifice and all that kind of stuff. Sure. However, there is research coming out. I think Macquarie University did some research into metal and well-being, finding that it's actually, as music, incredibly uplifting.
Yeah, I think it can be, yeah. It's a very extreme way of being on stage.
Yeah.
And listening to it's very loud and carry on. But that's kind of often what you need when things are loud and carrying on in your head, I think.
Yes.
It's like, I think that there's an absolute avenue for joy in heavy music. Nice way to purge a bit of headspace, particularly in a group of people feeling the same way. There's, of course, like some shitty things about metal and about all scenes, but, you know, they can be a bit guy-heavy and a bit aggressive in ways. But, like, for the majority of it, or at least the bands in Sydney and stuff that we play with, it's always super positive and a nice, very positive community thing, yeah.
Yeah, all the people that I know who are metal, extremely lovely, kind.
Yeah.
Often vegans as well.
Often vegans, yeah.
It's not what you expect, but I think that's one of the lovely things about those sorts of communities that give each other strength and support.
There's a lot of good politics in there, to be shared, I think, too. There's a lot of the heavy music scene, particularly in the punk scene, there's a lot of people saying a lot of righteous stuff, you know. It's good when they're doing things about it. It means becoming a vegan or whatever it is, you know. That's a positive change and I think that's cool.
So what's next for you?
I'm going traveling for a while, for the next 6 months, maybe a year or maybe longer. I'm going to go and, I don't know, I'm going to go and find the expos around the world, and I really want to go to a cat expo and like to touch on some flat earth stuff and hard hitting issues. It definitely is. Just so everyone knows. I just want to go and help them along, proving that.
Absolutely.
Maybe it's hollow. Maybe there's...
Maybe there's a place for us to go when we burn the top of it. We can go underground. Yeah, into...
Or off the edge. Maybe there's a pool around the...
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice. An eternal pool.
There we go. I'm already onto it. Yeah. So that's the plan. Shoot off and film the world a little bit for a while, which is good because I've run out of Sydney ideas for now.
Yes. It's a big place, but it's just not big enough for Nats, what I reckon. So you're one of our ambassadors for the Big Anxiety Festival, and we thank you wholeheartedly for that. It's very lovely to have you on board. Do you have any parting thoughts for us about reducing the stigma of mental health in our communities and online?
I think just talking about it. I think that's what's important. I think just if there's someone you can say something to ever about what's going on, I think that's a good thing. It's never a bad thing to talk about how you're feeling. And it's a very isolating and lonely thing, mental health. So it's nice to not feel so alone and say whatever it is that's on your mind if you can. If there's somewhere that you can go or you've got a mate you can talk to, or if you've got a channel that you can feel up to saying something to someone about it, I think that's what helps make it seem a little less scary, I think.
Mm.
Get it out of your head a bit. Go listen to some rock and roll. Go for a swim.
Thank you, Nat. Thanks so much for joining us and sharing those thoughts. It's been lovely to speak with you. And you can find out more about Nat's What I Reckon, and links to their YouTube and social media can be found at thebiganxiety.org. And many thanks to our partners at 2RPH for supporting this podcast series. Goodbye, Nat.
See you later.
And stay tuned for more episodes.